In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
I'm sorry, my blue box isn't working, so I'm on the phone. I want to tell you that many, many years ago, my grandmother and my grandfather, my family, came from Italy, and they came to this great nation. They left Italy because my grandfather told me we were starving in Italy. And so they came to this nation that was a covenanted nation under our forefathers, a nation that was one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So my grandparents came from Italy. On my father's side, they came from Naples. On my mother's side, they came from Abruzzi. And they came here because they knew that they could work here, and that they could prosper here, and that they could raise a family here, and that they wouldn't be hungry. My grandfather on my mother's side was a stitcher. My grandfather and grandmother on my father's side, they were painters. Before my grandmother died, they had accrued five homes. Five three-family homes. They were painters, and they bought property. My father was never into risk. He never bought property other than the house that we have in East Boston. But you see, they went from nothing, that when my grandmother died, she had in the bank $65,000. Now I want to tell you, $65,000 in 1956 was a lot of money. $65,000. It was all because they had come to a great nation that offered them that if they worked, that they could prosper. If they prayed, they could prosper. I will not tell you they were a religious family, but they loved God. I will not tell you that, you know, they would go to the church every day or even every week. I would not tell you that lie. But they did love God. And they were God-fearing. And they knew that what they got was from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe they couldn't say those things, but they knew it was Jesus. And they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. And so that's why they came here, because they were starving in Italy. When it came to World War II, my grandfather on my mother's side had three sons. His sons went into the service. He said, "Listen, this is our country now. We do not belong to Italy any longer. This is our country now. And this is the country that has made us prosper. This is the country that has given us freedom. This is the country that has given us religious freedom. My sons will go and fight." And that's exactly what happened. His sons that were accepted into the service, they went and fought. My grandfather knew that when he left the old country, it was no longer his anymore. Oh yes, he would visit. Oh yes, he would go back to see people. But he would say, "There's nothing like the United States of America. There's nothing like this great nation. There's nothing like America, where we enjoy our freedom, where we are cared for, where we could go to the best hospital, where nobody needs to be pushed aside if they use their God-given talent." Oh yes, they all landed on Ellis Island. They all landed on Ellis Island. And they made something of themselves. They did it legally. They did it legally. They did not break borders. They did it legally. And they brought all their family here. I am second generation United States of America. I never thought that I was a patriotic man. But you know what? What I have been seeing happening to this country makes me want to weep. What I have been seeing happening to this great nation one nation that was under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want to tell you, it makes me weep. When I see the flags walk by at a parade, my eyes fill with tears. Not because it's just emotional, but because this flag represents this great nation, and this great nation is under siege from within. Oh yes, I am saddened. I am saddened that the generation after me will not enjoy the freedom that I enjoy. Because they are being taken away. They are being taken away. You must know that freedom comes from God. You must know that freedom comes from God. And you must also know that the lack of freedom, bondage, comes from Satan. Now we have in our tradition as Catholics, men and women who give up their freedom, and they do it for God. Yes, they give up the freedom to have children. I have given up that freedom. But I was not coerced to do that. I did that out of love for the Lord and out of love for His people. And continue to do that by the grace of God. We have nuns that have cloistered themselves, praying for this country, praying for the world, that do not see people very often. But they have done that because they were free to do that. There was no force. Anyone that goes into a convent that is contemplative, if they do not love people, they do not love. If they are just people hiding from the world, they do not love. The sisters that I have met that are behind the walls are most vivacious, most alive, most beautiful. They gave up these freedoms not because they were forced, but because they had a call on their life. To pray. Yes, to pray. To pray while we sleep. To pray for our country. To pray for our church. To pray. You see, freedom is the gift of God. The scripture says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Do not submit to any other yoke of slavery. I want to tell you that now in the United States, we are submitting to yokes of slavery. I want to tell you that our freedoms are being taken away from us. I want to tell you that I do not have the same freedom that I had when I was a little boy. I want to tell you, they're stealing them from under us. With this administration, and I'm not into black, yellow, white, or green, because Obama is as much white as he is black. This is a socialist administration. You might not call it that, but I call it that. When the government takes over banks, when the government takes over automobile industry, when the government takes over paying the tuition, people who owe money to schools, I'm telling you, this was never meant to be this way in this great country. If a bank fails, let it fail. You understand what I'm saying? Why should the government take over the bank? If I overspend on my plastic card, who's going to bail me out? I must be self-reliant and spend what I have. If I do not spend what I have and I spend more, then I go into debt and then I die, literally. I die, not physically, but I die monetarily. Who's going to bail me out? I did it. It's my responsibility. You see, we live in a nation now that wants to control. That wants to control. And when the nation starts controlling, it takes your freedoms away. And it takes my freedoms away. And as we are about to go into the whole experience of Memorial Day, that the blood of men and women to keep us free was shed in vain if we let these freedoms go. The blood of these men and women gave their life in war to keep us free is mocked. The families that lost sons and daughters, husbands and wives, We mock their death. I remember when I was a child, you know, we were in public school. I never went to parochial school. We learned the poem. In Flanders fields, the poppies grow. Between the crosses, row on row, to mark the place. And in the sky, the lark still bravely singing, fly. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived. Oh yeah. But they gave their life up. They gave their life up for your freedom and mine. And now as freedom is being taken away from us, we mock the blood of our brothers and sisters who gave their life to keep us free. We mock the sorrow of parents, relatives, husbands, wives, who experience and are experiencing the loss that men and women gave their life for the freedom of this great country and for your freedom and mine. And as our freedoms are being taken away, there's no big dissent going on. It's almost like, you know what, let the government take care of me. Can I ask, what good has the government ever done but take your money? Let's take the welfare state, okay? We look at the welfare state. I know people need to be on welfare. I know also that they shouldn't be on welfare generation after generation after generation. We do not help people if that's a reality. But let's take the welfare state, okay? Do you know that with the money that is allotted for welfare, 22% go to the poor and 78% goes for the administration, the fat cats that run it? Is that freedom? That freedom. And then you see what happens with the welfare state for many, many people. These are the people that might have been on plantation, or the poor white people. They become slaves, not on plantation, but to the government. Slaves waiting for a check. Slaves. It's the same thing as having a slave on the plantation. Controlled by the government, waiting for Uncle Sam to give me the money I need. Now again, I understand there are some people that need to go on welfare. They have hard times, difficulty, and we should help them. But you know, at one time it was the church that helped these people. It was the church that helped these people. At one time, when the church operated in faith, she would build hospitals, and she would depend upon the alms of the people to care. I remember about this hospital in Italy that they told me about, that would never reject anyone and would care for all people. They expected the money to come in from the neighborhood, and they always got what they needed because they walked by faith. Now we have government taking over hospitals. And when that happens, we have baby killing machines. Do you know that even in children's hospitals, they kill unborn children? Do you know that? I had a friend who worked there. And once I asked, you know, what's happening at children's hospital? You know what she told me? They are scraping the furnace. I said, what are they scraping it from? The bones of the children that were taken and burned, that have never, ever disintegrated. Oh, yeah. You see, you let the government take over your hospitals, and you know what happens? You'll have abortion on demand. I want nothing to do with the government. I want to pay what I need to pay. But Jesus Christ never meant that we would pay 40% of our salary. He never meant that. And you know, what do we do? But we make these dysfunctional leaders become rich. We make these dysfunctional leaders have pensions for the rest of their life. Who are they? I thought they were there to represent us. I thought they were there to keep us free. I thought they were there to get the Constitution alive where they govern. But even the Constitution, that great, great, great declaration, has been literally defamed. They reinterpret it. Yeah, they reinterpret this great document based on Judeo-Christian reality. Oh yes, there is a movement in the United States to destroy Christianity and Judaism. There is a movement in the United States to uphold Muslims and to step on Christians and Jews. There is a movement. That's real. You might say, how do you know that? I know that because this administration at Christmas did not have a crash. Because our great president prayed during Ramadan with his brothers. I know that because they will not even mention the name of Jesus anymore. This nation was formed as a covenant nation, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. This nation was formed as a covenant nation. It is the only nation outside of Israel that was given to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to tell you, God takes covenant very seriously. When you see the First Continental Congress, and you see the picture of it, you see George Washington on his face. You see these men on their knees. They knew that if this great freedom experiment was to work, it would have to be unlike Mother England. It would not be ruled by a king, but it would be a republic. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, not for some. And yet we have diverted from that, and no one says anything. No one says anything. No one. In 1996, I had a vision. It was the vision of the Titanic sinking. And I saw the lifeboats trying to get the people onto the board, but they couldn't do it. This vision was very, very, very alive in my mind. It stayed with me for days. I knew in 1996 that this Titanic was the world economic system. I don't know how I knew that. And I didn't even know that there was a world economic system in 1996. I am not privy. I did not read the Wall Street Journal. I came from East Boston. I love Jesus. I proclaim his word. I love the Lord. He is my God. I bring his message throughout the earth. I knew nothing about a world economic system. But when I saw the Titanic sinking, the Lord said, this is the world economic system. It's going into the drink. And then he said to me, do you see these boats, these lifeboats? They are the church trying to get the people on during the crisis of the world economic crisis, when everything goes down the drain, and the church, for the most part, doesn't know how to get the people into safety. This is your job. You must learn to get the people to safety. You must teach people to bring people on board to love Jesus Christ. The vision ended. That was in 1996. 1990, I had prophetic word. And the prophetic word was that we were in a post-Christian era. and that one day they would take from us even our Bibles, and that food would be lacking, and there would be looting and killing. But the Lord said, do not be afraid, because that will be the time when multiplication will take place. That will be the time when you will do the miracle that you saw in the Acts of the Apostles. When you will do the miracle that you saw in the Acts of the Apostles. Three, almost tipped over the economic system of the world. Next, it'll be Italy. We owe trillions of dollars to China. How long can it last? What happens if the trucks stop moving? What happens if the food stops getting to the supermarket? What happens? What happens if it costs $25 for a loaf of bread as it did in Poland? What happens? I tell you, there'll be looting. There'll be killing. Just like in the time of Katrina. That's why we need to find our knees. We need to love God. We need to repent, for we have not said anything. We need to give our lives anew to the King of Glory. We need to give our lives anew to the one who died on the cross and who rose from the dead. We need to give Jesus everything. And you know, we cannot be playing around anymore. I have said this so many times in my parish, and I have said this that I have emptied the parish. But you know what? Though the parish has been emptied, it's filled up again now. It's not full, but it's filled up again. Though it's been emptied, when these things happen, and as they happen, they will know there was a prophetic man in the pulpit who wasn't afraid to tell the people, let's get ready, let's find our knees, let's repent. It's time to give our hearts to the Lord. He is the only one that's going to keep us. Oh yeah, people came to me and said, we can't stay here any longer because you depressed us. I said, maybe I'm speaking the word of God. I don't think so, they said. I said, but maybe I am. I don't think so. Well, you know what? Time will tell. Time will tell. You see, I'm a watcher. And I speak what I see, and I speak what I hear. I do not tell you that I'm perfect. I do not tell you that everything I say is right. But what I do tell the people is get ready. Get ready, find your knees, repent. And whether these things happen or not, good things will happen if we find our knees, if we repent, if our hearts belong to Jesus. Even if these things don't happen, you know what I'm saying? Good things will happen if we surrender our lives unto the Lord. This is the time. Yes, Russia has spread her errors, even as Our Lady of Fatima has said she would, to our own country, which has become socialistic, communistic. You see, I believe in giving to the poor. You have no idea how much I give to the poor. Just the other day, from my own money, I bought $436 worth of underwear, shirts, socks for the people out in the street. I don't expect the government to do that. We go and feed these people. If the church doesn't care for the poor, who's going to? We feed them, we pray with them, we love them. They say, your coffee is the best. We've done this for over 5 years. And you know what? This is not charity, this is justice. This is justice. And we carry the banner of the cross wherever we go. The big crucifix comes with us. I don't expect the government to give us any money. People say, how do you afford these things? How do you buy 120 pounds of chicken and cook it in the rectory every single week for the poor? How do you do these things? God provides. Because when one lives by faith, one sees the action of God. Oh, yeah. I don't need anything from the government. I don't need anything from the government. The government only is a government that lives for itself. And for the fat cat. You know that Congress and representatives are senators, and most of our elected officials, most of them, there are exceptions. They're nothing but our royal family. And we've got to keep them. We've got to keep them, you know. They've got to be kept men and kept women. Please. My grandfather, an even my mother and father, if they came back from the grave today, they would not recognize this country. My mother had died 16 years ago. She would not recognize this nation. It has fallen and fallen and is falling in a free fall. And the only way back is faith in Jesus. The only way back is that we, God's people, demand what God has given us. Liberty and justice for all. Not for some, but for all. For all. I tell you, friends, get plenty of rice and pasta in your house. We have no idea what's coming down the road. We have no idea. And get enough stuff that you're going to be able to share with people. The Lord told me there would be times of difficulty, but He would multiply food. Hallelujah. Listen. If I'm wrong, hallelujah. If I'm right, you're prepared. Find your need. Please find your need. Today at 3 o'clock at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop, we're going to be worshiping the Lord. Yes, we're going to be singing praises unto His holy name at 3 o'clock. Come and join us as we sing at Holy Rosary and praise God the way He deserves to be praised. 3 o'clock, Holy Rosary, Winthrop. Come and join us to sing the praises of the living God. For more is accomplished through worship and praise than anything else. We get into His presence and we start prophesying. Come at 3 o'clock today and join me in the worship of God. If I have two or three, I do it with two or three. If I have only me, I do it with the Lord. Come. Come. 1015 Shirley Street, Winthrop, Mass. I need to hear from you because we need to pay our bills. We're about $7,000 short this month. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And let me just tell you this. It's going to start raining again, and the rain's going to be hitting your head. Jimmy the Roofer, he's the best. I'm telling you, he's the best. I put my reputation behind him. His telephone number is 617-519-0341.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.